Roland, indeed, for the first 24 hours, seemed to hold himself deliberately aloof from me. 5 months of active service had intensified in him some ruthless, baffling quality, which before had only been there in embryo. Only once, on the Sunday evening, did we recapture the lovely enchantment of New Year's Eve. Sitting together on a heather-covered cliff, we watched a twilight deepen into night. I had taken off my hat, allowing the sea breeze to blow over my face and hair. His arm was round me, and with his other hand, he gently played with the little wisps of hair that the wind blew over my face. After a time, he rested his head against my shoulder, and we became quite silent.
You are a dear.
As I had to report for duty at the hospital on the Tuesday morning, and Roland was not returning to France until the end of the week, we had arranged that he should see me off at St. Pancras. The whistle sounded, and the crowd moved a little way from the door. But Roland still stood close to me, and as the train began to move, he pressed my hand almost violently, and drawing my face down to his, kissed me again more passionately than ever. And I kissed him, and just managed to whisper goodbye. I stood by the door as the train moved out of the station, and watched him walking away through the crowd. But he never turned again. What I could see of his face was set and pale.
I could not look back, dear child. I should have cried if I had. I am writing this in a stationary taxi drawn up in a corner of Russell Square. The driver thinks I'm a little mad, I think, to hire him, and then only sit inside without wanting to go anywhere at all. I don't know what I want to do, and don't care for anything, except to get back again. And that I cannot do, yet. I cannot write for the pain of it.
Buxton, 23rd of August, 1915. When I arrived, I found no one in the house but servants, one of whom informed me that Father had an overnight wire from Edward to say he was going to France tonight. Father and Mother at once rushed off to Farnham on the chance of catching the regiment before it left. My thoughts keep racing feveredly from you to Edward and from Edward to you. 24th of August, 1915. Apparently, Edward is not going out with the battalion. He is very depressed about it, and has mad ideas of trying again for the artillery. Tell me, honestly, does this eliminating mean he is not much good, or that the colonel doesn't like him, or is it just luck?
I have just written to Edward. I don't know quite what to make of it, except that his CO probably dislikes him and has taken this opportunity of sharing it. I'm very glad that neither you nor Mother were at Victoria to see me off. It was very sad. The men were boisterously cheerful in a way that deceived no one. The officers walked up and down the platform or stood in little groups, all very quiet and self-restrained. There were not very many women there, but there was a look in their eyes that made one turn one's face away in reverence. It would be so much better if they would not come, I overheard one weather-beaten major saying. It only makes it harder. They stood very still as the train moved out. Only one actually cried, a young girl of about 20. I thought of you, and I turned my face again. It hurt so.
Dear Roland, many thanks for your letter of condolence. I suppose it is no good being depressed. As you say, the difficulties the triumvirate has had in trying to do that most ordinary thing which men call fighting for your country have been most gigantic. Difficulties in getting a commission, Victor's illness, and my insuperable difficulties in trying to get out. Hoping to join you someday. Ever yours, Edward.
Dear Roland, I thought when I saw you off in March that nothing in the world could make me feel more deeply than I did then. I was mistaken. I thought then that if you had kissed me once, and we had had even that much of fulfillment, I should be more resigned to whatever cruel thing fate had in store for me. There again I was wrong. Resignation is a thing of the devil. It can't come until one has abandoned the hope that hurts so. So now,